Today, we've got some special speakers today here with us. Go ahead and Bob and Barbara, come on up. Whoever wants to come up first. All right, let me get you. Yeah, I'll show you here. Let me get you your microphone. There you go. All right.
Hallelujah.
So we've got our missionaries, Bob and Barbara M.Y. They are missionaries to Botswana. We've been supporting you guys, I believe, since the beginning, correct? And that was
2008 or 9.
Okay.
Yep. Long time now.
So we've been supporting them. They're one of our monthly missionary support. So they're going to be bringing the word today and sharing, updating their ministry in Botswana.
This is the
advancer.
Forward and go back.
All right. Yep. Awesome.
All right. You're in control.
Thank you, Pastor Dan. What a pleasure to be with you. Riala Dumidisa ke liana lele matlala ha Jesu Christi. I greet you in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Isn't he wonderful? Wonderful. Wow. Amen. And my sister going to OCC. Botswana gets shoeboxes. So if you see our representative from Botswana, you tell them that we said hello. Okay. All right. So we just thank you so much, church, for partnering with us over all these years. It makes a difference. What you do in obedience to the Lord, as you send it up to him and he sends it over to us, it gets planted in fertile ground. And we are seeing God do amazing things through us together. And it's so exciting. And boys and girls that give to BGMC, how many of you do that? Raise your hands, yes, and the adults that put all their change in, all of that. You send us your BGMC money every month, and you guys are champions, and we thank you, because when you give those dollars and cents to BGMC, we turn it into equipment and literature and all the things that we need to reach boys and girls for Jesus. And we just love the Assemblies of God and the youth that are in here, and you give to Speed the Light. Guys, we'd get nowhere without our Speed the Light vehicles. You guys get us the best, the most reliable. There might be a lot of things that concern a missionary, but in the Assemblies of God, vehicles isn't one of them, because you guys take care of us so well. So thank you for doing that. But Let me tell you a little bit about our family. Over here on the right is Austin, our oldest. He's 28, and Jamie, his lovely wife, got married in 2020. They're living in Iowa City. He's pursuing a emergency medical career, and Jamie is a firefighter, just like Austin is, volunteer, but she's also a law enforcement officer. So she looks all sweet, and she is, but you just don't cross that line when she's on duty. On the left-hand side is our daughter, Stephanie, and she'll be 25 this summer, just starting a master's program in English, and an amazingly creative, talented gal, and she just landed. We got the phone call Friday at noon. She said, Mom and Dad, I got the graduate assistant job. So that's a dream come true for her, so we thank God for his provision there. And then Cameron, our youngest there, sporting the Jesus hair, he took a look at his dad's hair don't, and he said, I only got this much time to do a hairdo. So he's just making hay while the sun shines, and he's doing so great, loving Jesus. He's a second-year sophomore at Southwestern Assemblies of God University, and he is studying psychology. He feels a call to work with missionary families and kids, because we need a lot of extra help. And I'm not even kidding. It's an interesting thing to take a family and move overseas. A lot of things that we work through together as a missionary family. So thank God for that call and his life and his obedient heart to follow Jesus wherever he leads. So that's our family, our pride and joy. Please, when you leave today, you'll see our table. We have a prayer card for all of you, even the boys and girls. Everybody has your own prayer life, so you can each take one. You don't have to take one per family. You take one. And let it remind you to pray for us. And we'll give you some ways to pray as we talk this morning and share. But our kids, they said, Mom, you don't have to put our picture on the back. Put the picture of the African kids on the back. It's okay. We've been on your prayer cards for all this time. You don't have to put us on there. I said, oh, no, you don't understand. Because the way that Bob and I flourish in ministry is to know that our kids are prospering and being in good health even as their souls prosper. And when our kids are thriving, we can thrive. We can run hard and fast and long for Jesus. It slows us down a bit if these guys are struggling, because they're our heart. So, yep, when you pray for them, you bless us and you advance God's kingdom by praying for our whole family. So thank you for doing that. Amen. But when we all landed in Botswana in 2010, so the kids were, Austin was 14, Steffi was 11, and Cameron was just 8 years old. When we landed there, we had no idea that we were going to work with kids, but the Lord quickly directed us to work with children. Children as a demographic in Africa, and Botswana's part of Africa, largely ignored. Just nobody really invests in kids. Churches don't really reach out to them. Children's ministry is a very new thing because you can't pass the offering plate to kids and have that be, you know, fruitful right up front. So pastors work in more what they think is more fertile ground. But we know the Father's hearts for kids. And so God directed us to work with boys and girls. But our vision God has given us is to see a kid-friendly church within walking distance of every child in Botswana. Wouldn't that be amazing? Kid-friendly church, because not all churches are kid-friendly, right? But that's our goal. And to do that, to accomplish that, we partner with local churches and pastors. And that's a lovely blank slide. Why is that? I don't know. There we go. We partner with pastors and churches to train Sunday school teachers, because you got to take care of the kids that are already right in your own house. Kids always come to the churches. They just don't have anything for them to do. So they play outside, or they, you know, if you don't have a plan for kids, they have a plan for you, right? So we bring them contextualized curriculum that works for Africa. You don't need any fancy flash paper from the magic store. We teach them everything they can get right in their village to make this curriculum come alive for kids and make the Word of God come alive, and we teach them how to use it. So we train the Sunday school teachers, so that helps disciple the boys and girls that are already in within the church building. But as you know as well as we do, most children on a Sunday morning, even right here, right now in Sioux City, are not in church, are they? Same is true in Africa. The vast majority of children are not in church. So how are we going to reach them? Well, God did an amazing thing, and He helped us to start a ministry for primary schools called GEMS, Gospel Evangelistic Ministry in the Schools, or GEMS. You see the diamond there in the middle? That's very intentional. And the GEMS word is very intentional, because Botswana was transformed economically by the discovery of diamonds about 58 years ago. They used that wealth to build their country. They went from having just a half a kilometer of paved road in the whole country the size of Texas. There was nothing there, guys. It's desert. They went from that to building infrastructure. They put it into schools, education, roads, medicine. They built their country, and it's a top-tier African nation now because of the discovery of diamonds. But when the Lord brought us there and He directed our heart to children, what He showed us is the children are the true national treasure, and they're still waiting to be mined. Will you go mine them? Will you find them and bring them to me? Because we believe God has said the children are going to bring the spiritual transformation to this nation. The gospel has been in Botswana for 200 years, but it has never impacted the culture. They still syncretize with the demonic. Jesus and the witch doctor working together doesn't work at all, ever, never will. So, but the children, as we reach the hearts of these kids and teach them that Jesus is all they will ever need, we're going to see this nation turning, and we're starting to see it. Whew, we have ringside seats. It's amazing. So the way this works is Bob took his first career of being an educator of 20 years, and then he's pastored for 8 years. We wrote a three-year curriculum for kids. They told us you can have 10 minutes a week in our public primary schools, 10 minutes a week. Like, what can you do in 10 minutes a week? Don't we at least need an hour? No. 10 minutes a week. We said, yes, sir, Lord, we will do it. So he wrote a 10-minute lesson. You start out with a Bible story. You tell it in 4 to 5 minutes in the international language of children. What's that? Fun. If you have fun with kids and you engage them and you involve them, they are right here and they listen to everything you say. So we tell that Bible story that teaches a biblical virtue, teaches character, teaches all those things that come from the Word of God. And then we say, okay, why did we tell you that story today? How does that apply to your life here at school? How does it apply at home? And how does it apply in your village? And then what we do is we pray over the whole student body. And we speak Jesus. We say, Jesus, come. Help the boys and girls to understand what you're speaking to their hearts today. Help it to change them. Help them to live for you. And oftentimes we even, if the lesson goes in that direction, we invite them to accept Jesus into their hearts. And you know what happens through this? We've been doing this now for 7 years. We see consistently, the principals tell us, the discipline problems go down, the test scores go up. Because when you tell boys and girls that they were made on purpose, for a purpose, their life matters, they are not a mistake, they are in fact a masterpiece. They think, oh, I've got something to live for. I've got something to work for. And we just see them flourish with the Word of God in their lives. That's what our partnership is doing together. You know, we don't often, we're doing this week after week, about 15,000 kids a week now that us and our team that we train are reaching. But we don't often get to hear the one-on-one testimonies. But last summer, we heard another one, and I'm just going to share it with you. Vanessa, you see the little girl in the middle? That's Vanessa. She was a sixth grader. And she went to the GEMS program at Botsolano Primary, that picture I showed you just right before. That was her school. And she heard Bob teach on Jonah, and she thought, I don't want to be a Jonah. I'm going to give my heart to Jesus. So she accepted Jesus at GEMS and loved hearing the Bible stories every week. But we also teach the kids that Jesus hears your prayers. You can talk to God anytime, anywhere, about anything. If it concerns you, it concerns Him. And so she said, I went into my room one day, and I just got down on my knees, and I said, God, my mom needs a job. Because her mom's a single mom. All these kids, no way to feed them or clothe them or send them to school. They had no means. And this was a big problem. So she said, Jesus, my mom needs a job. Would you please give my mom a job? That very night, the phone rang. Someone out of the blue calls her mom and says, I have a job for you. Do you need a job? And also, I have a house that you and your family can live in. Could you come to our village about 45 minutes away, move there, work for me, and this house is for you. And Vanessa knew immediately that Jesus had heard her prayer. Isn't that awesome? Yes. But the story gets even better. Because now she had to move 45 minutes away, and now she couldn't be at GEMS assemblies anymore and hear about Jesus. And we were only in six schools. We've been cultivating this ground for 7 years. Still only six schools, because we're praying God will raise up laborers. And that's not as easy as it sounds. People don't just want to give their time automatically, but we're getting there. And so we're only in six schools, five of them right in the capital city area. We're only in one village. Guess which village we happen to be in? Vanessa's village. There's two primary schools in that village. Guess which one Vanessa, and we're only in one of them. Guess which one Vanessa went to? Yes, and there she found Pastor Bob, still teaching the lessons. Every Friday morning he's out there in that village. And so last summer, we had some missionaries come over. A couple young people came to serve with us this month of July. We did kids crusades. And we were in her village partnering with the Assembly of God Church there doing a kids crusade Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And so we passed out flyers at school. And Vanessa got one of the flyers, and it said to come to the church. And she got herself there. And that wasn't easy for her. Because what happened last April 2022, she was playing with her friends in the tree. She fell out of the tree, landed on her right side, and there was nothing that they could do. They couldn't do anything more for her. So she couldn't play anymore. She was housebound. She could get to school. That was about it. But it was so painful. But that Friday, after the message, and I was leading worship, leading kids into God's presence at the end, and I just felt the Holy Spirit say, ask if anybody needs healing. And so we had a tent of about 250 kids. And I'd never actually done that before. But the Lord, Holy Spirit had been stirring us to operate in the gifts and bring kids into His presence and just let it all flow. He wants to love on them in ways we never could on our own. Here comes, and nobody moved at first. Then this little girl comes from the back, comes all the way to the front and stood right here in front of my piano, and our team surrounded her and prayed for her. And then she came the next day. She said, you know, as soon as you put your hands on me and prayed for me, the pain instantly left. But I didn't want to tell you because I was afraid it wouldn't last. But it did last. And I went home and I told my mom, and my mom is so excited, she said, we're going to go to that church. Isn't that awesome? So now we have a whole family coming to the house of the Lord and being discipled. That's Jesus. You see, when we go out and we stand before these thousands of kids every week, we can't begin to meet the needs they have, physically, financially, spiritually, emotionally, nothing. But when we introduce them to Jesus and to the hope of the world, which is a healthy local church, and the presence of the Holy Spirit, they have everything they need, and they will flourish because Jesus takes care of what belongs to him. He knows how to do that. So, you know, we could tell so many stories like this. And the problem isn't opportunities. The doors are wide open to all the primary schools in Botswana. We can present the gospel every week. The problem is the laborers. Who will go? Who will go? And we've been praying that God would raise up a national brother or sister to lead this ministry. Because up until now, every time we came home for furlough, if we weren't there, like if we didn't go back, it would just fall flat. Because there was no national champion to carry that baton. But that all changed last year. Woo-hoo. God raised up Mr. OG, Ahonus Raswani. He is an amazing transformational leader as he works in his vocational job. He represents Botswana internationally, travels for the country, but he's also an amazing member of the Assemblies of God in Botswana, a passionate man of God, wife and family. And he, God has put this burden, this fire on his heart to lead GEMS. And last year through this ministry, we went in 8 weeks' time. The Holy Spirit came and blew a fresh wind of fire. And we went from 6 schools to 23 schools in 8 weeks' time. Hallelujah. With workers in every single one, that's what it takes. That's all it takes is people to get up and get involved. And so they're there, 23. And when we met with OG, we were in Botswana in January. He said, would you ask the people, the church in America, to pray that we will double this year. We'll go from 23 schools to 50 schools by the end of this year, by December. That's a specific prayer assignment. Will you take it up with us? Yasha, will you make that a specific prayer request? Let's double at least 50. It could be even more. But let's at least double by the end of this year. And then OG said, if we double every year after that, we will be in all 805 primary schools by 2027. That's 750,000 children. Can you imagine? Hearing the gospel every week, having that word of God that never returns void planted in their hearts. Ooh, we get so excited about this. God is awesome and moving in a mighty, mighty way. We just, and there's Mr. OG training his first team as he's training laborers to go out. He's very connected. We keep in touch with him every week. We're connected with him, resourcing him, cheering him on, praying for him. And so please, as you pray for us, pray for this harvest as we mine the treasure for Jesus in Botswana. It's these kids, and they're going to transform a nation, because when you raise up a generation who knows the ways of God and the power of God, things are ripe for a national move, a great awakening that's going to sweep Botswana and beyond. We're right on the cusp of it. We're seeing it happen. Hallelujah.
Good morning, Crosspoint. It's great to be with you. Thank you. I express my gratitude and thanks to you as well, because your partnership means so much to us. And so we're just really kind of, we're just giving you an update on what our partnership is doing, and we are so grateful for you. You know, it's not just what's taking place in Botswana. But you may not be aware of what's taking place all over the African continent. Botswana right now, about a third of their population are children, ages 15 and under. But this is magnified throughout the continent. And I just want to share with you the need that is there right now. Right now on the African continent, there are about 1 billion people. Right at 1 billion people. And this little illustration just kind of shows, is going to give us a picture of what's happening on the continent. All of these Cheerios in here, there are not 1 billion Cheerios in there. We won't bother counting them. It's just representative of the 1 billion people on the continent right now. But you'll notice that about half of them are chocolate, half of them are strawberry. Half of them are adult, half of them are children. Right now, there's about 480 million children on the continent right now. UNICEF tells us that by 2030, 7 years from now, there will be 500 million children. Half the continent will be children 15 and under. Most of them have not heard the gospel. The need on this continent is huge. It's huge. If we take those 500 million children, and to put that in perspective, the U.S. right now has about 330 million people. So even right now, the continent of Africa has more children than we have people in the U.S. That just staggers me some days. It's amazing. You see a little bit of brown on top of the strawberry. That represents the workers right now that are reaching these 480 million children. In Assemblies of God, there are 370 missionaries on the continent right now. Of those 370 missionaries, only 37 of us, Barb and I are two, are there to reach children. The need on this continent is before us. Father, raise up laborers for the harvest field. Raise up the laborers that are needed to reach these children. If we can reach these children, man, if we can mold and shape them. You know what the communists say, that a child's heart is like wax, and it can be molded and shaped by anyone who knows what they are doing. If we can reach these children, we do not want a generation to rise again on this continent that does not know the Lord. If they can know the Lord, if they can understand His life for them, that they have been made in God's image. That's what the Bible tells us, isn't it? From the very beginning, Genesis 1 and 2, He says, I've made man in my image. Every one of us here, made in the image of God. Every time we look in the mirror, whether we are young or whether we are old, we're seeing an image of God. We're seeing an image of Him. We're a reflection of Him. And He doesn't make mistakes. He's given us life. He doesn't care that man would say, oh, this one was a mistake. This one was an accident. This one is. No, God looks at all of life and says, I value all of life. He has breathed in us and given us His breath. He knows how many beats our hearts are going to take. He is in control. Life is in His hands. And everyone has been made on purpose for a purpose. No mistakes. He's with us, and He values us. And if we can get kids, when that message comes across, that's why these kids, they sit up a little straighter, they try a little bit harder. Because all of a sudden, this value of life is being conveyed to them. It's coming across. They see it in the truth of God's word. They see it in the power of the gospel as it takes effect in their hearts and in their lives. And that power of the gospel is still alive and well today. All of its promises are yes and amen. All of them come true. Jesus said to us then, those of us that know this truth, He says to us, and it comes to us, and today we're going to take it out of Mark chapter 16, do you have the clicker? You've got the clicker. Aha. She still has the power. That's the way she likes it. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. Anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved. But anyone who refuses to believe will be condemned. These miraculous signs will accompany those who believe. They will cast out demons in my name. They will speak in new languages. They will be able to heal. They will be able to handle snakes with safety. And if they drink anything poisonous, it won't hurt them. They will be able to place their hands on the sick, and they will be healed. Jesus says, those of us that know this truth, go into all the world. Some of us are called to go overseas, but some of us are called to go wherever we find ourselves, in Sioux City, in this region. Wherever we find ourselves is our goal. Sharing the good news, isn't it? The truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And anyone, not someone, not just a few, not a select group, not anyone who believes and is baptized, following through and saying, God, I love you. I'm going to follow you. I'm going to listen to your commandments. I'm going to live my life for you, will be saved. They will be saved. There's no exceptions except for unbelief, except for rejecting this plan. And then he goes on. He doesn't leave us there. He says, these miraculous signs will accompany. This will happen. Not maybe, not in certain. This will happen. They will have power. They're going to cast out demons in my name. The authority is there. They will speak in new languages. I have power for you, a heavenly language that comes with the baptism of the Spirit. They will be able to handle snakes with safety, and if they drink anything poisonous, it won't hurt them. What's that talking about? It's talking about when dangerous threats come from the outside that are coming to threaten my life. He is saying, I'm your protector. You don't have to worry for those outside threats. I am with you, and I will keep you safe. And he's saying, if anything comes from the inside, tries to destroy you from the inside, threats from the outside, but the worries and the anxieties and the things that rise up with inside that want to consume us and capture us, the fears that want to, no, in the name of Jesus, he has not given us a spirit of fear. And so those things cannot overcome us. That poison that would try to eat away at our body and destroy us has no effect through Jesus Christ and his promises. It cancels it all out. And then they will be able to place their hands on the sick and they will be healed. In 2019, I was substitute teaching at our Bible school, and that night a young man came through the door. His picture will come up here shortly. His name was Tomello. I found out later, and he came right up to me and he said, Pastor, do you still go to the primary schools and share the gospel? I was kind of surprised. I didn't recognize him. I said, yes, I do. He said, do you recognize me? And I said, I'm sorry, I don't. You're going to have to help me. He says, well, in 2014, you came to our school. And I remember this school. It's Bozzolano Primary School. You saw the picture a couple slides ago when Barb was up here, the kids in the red. And in 2014, when I went to that school, they wouldn't let me come every week. They didn't know if they could trust what I was there to do, so they said, we'll let you come every other week. I thought, okay, I'm just establishing credibility. I'm going to show that I can be, you know, trustworthy. And in my mind, I'm thinking, I'm just earning cred until they trust me every week, and then really the ministry will start. Because what can God do in 10 minutes every other week? You know, 20 minutes a month compared to 40 minutes a month, I'm sure that's... You see the irony in that statement. But I was there. And he said, I was the teacher that made sure all the students were lined up. And that's what they do. They line them up from kindergarten all the way to sixth grade. They're all standing in their lines. At this school, there's 1,000 of them. And so I was giving that lesson every other week to 1,000 students. Tamela said, what you didn't know was that when you came, I was a drunk. He said, this is what I would do. I'd go to school in the morning. I'd bring my second grader, my 7-year-old boy. I'd drop him off at school, and I would go teach fifth grade. At the end of the day, I'd pick him up. I'd go home. I'd drop my boy off at home, and then I would go to the bar, and I'd get drunk. And next day, I'd start all over again. But my 7-year-old boy, my little second grader, he loved your Bible stories. So much so that he would run home after, or he had come home after school, and he would come up to Mom and I and say, Daddy, Mommy, get out the Bible. Read me more Bible stories. I love these stories. And they went. Well, 2 months pass. Now it's August of 2014. August 22nd, to be exact. It's a Friday night. Tamela says, I came home from the bar that night drunk, as usual. And when I came into my house, there was my family standing by the door. They said, the Assembly of God Church down the street, they're having a crusade. Would you bring us? I said, I was drunk, but yes. So he puts them in the car. They're on their way. And on the way, the 7-year-old boy now turns to his father. Dad, you're drinking. This is destroying our family. This is hurting us. We don't have enough resources. We don't see you. We don't get to play with you. And he just starts ticking off the ways that it's harming their family. They get to the church, and Tamela says, I parked outside the gate. There was no way I was going in. I'd already purchased the alcohol. I was going back to the bar. But now the boy's pleadings turn to cries and sobs, and tears are coming down his cheek. Dad, please. Dad, please change. Dad, you need to stop. Tamela says, drunk as I was, I just thought, what kind of father am I? Making this kind of pain and hurt for my boy, for my family. Said I picked him up and carried him into the church and sat in the back row because it smelled like alcohol. Holy Spirit didn't care. Tamela got saved that night. Tamela says, I went home. I laid awake in bed all night long, thinking about the choices that I'd made in my life, thinking about the choice I'd made that night. When I got up the next morning, I went out to my car, took all the alcohol I'd purchased, and dumped it all out. He hasn't had a drop since. So I started going to church, leading my family to church. The church surrounded him, embraced him. The pastor took him under his wing and starts discipling and mentoring Tamela. A couple years, Tamela comes on the church board, and he's part of the leadership now of the church. He's You know, people are looking up to him. The family is coming. They're growing. They're thriving. 2018, as he's in his prayer time, as he's continuing to grow in the Lord, he hears another voice of the Spirit Spirit starts speaking to him about becoming a pastor. That's what he was doing in my class that Thursday night. And last year, December 10th, 2022, Tamela walks the line, receives a diploma. He's a pastor in the Assemblies of God of Botswana today, continuing on to get his BA, get his master's. Because a little seven-year-old boy heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, his love for his father, shared the gospel, shared his burden. Tamela accepts the Lord, heals him, heals his family, delivers that family. And now he has called him to go throughout Botswana and share the gospel. God's word is living and active and powerful. He still saves. He still heals. He still delivers. We're made in his image. And he has not made any mistakes. Oh, the enemy would tell us we've made plenty of mistakes. The enemy wants to tell us, no, it's too late for you. You've done too much, these things. And God is saying, uh-uh. No. He's overcome it all. He's overcome it all. There is nothing he can't forgive. There's no power that is greater than his love. He is set high and above all principalities and powers of this world, of the demonic world. They all will bow and do bow and do move at his command. And we, as his representatives, of his ambassadors, have the privilege of walking in his love. And wherever he takes us, wherever he leads us, we don't have to go in fear. We don't have to be afraid. Because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And that same power that raised Jesus from the dead is alive and well in us today. For those of us that follow and trust and live for him. God is with us. God is with you. Do not be afraid. Walk boldly with him. Father, thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your goodness today. The life that comes from knowing you. And I thank you that your power, your saving power is here today. Your delivering power is here today. Your healing power is here today. Father, I don't know everyone in this room, but you do. Father, if there's someone here today and they haven't been saved, they know that there's sin. They know that there's a separation between themselves and you. Father, they can be saved today. Those sins can be gone. They can start a new life today. Father, I pray that they would do that. There may be somebody here today that needs to be delivered. Something has been plaguing them, been dogging them, been controlling them for years. But Jesus, you can set them free today. There may be somebody here today, Father, that is sick. Jesus, you heal, and you can make them whole today. Thank you. thank you for your power that is here, your presence that is here right now. So as heads are bowed, eyes are closed, if you're here today and you know you don't have Jesus in your life, he's here and he loves you. You're made in his image. He doesn't make mistakes. It doesn't matter who. It doesn't matter what's been spoken, what curses have been spoken over you. God is your creator. He's the one that has given you life. And he doesn't speak that over you. He doesn't believe any of those. He loves you. And he wants you to experience the fullness of his life, the fullness of his love. So if you're here today and you need to receive that love, I'm going to ask you to respond to him. Keep your heads bowed and eyes closed, but this is between you and the Lord. If you need to receive that love, you want that today, then you can just slip your hand up to him. And you're doing that, you're saying, Lord, here I am. I need you. I want to be free. I want to experience your love. Is there anyone this morning? Just slip your hand up where you're at. God loves you. Yes, you can put your hand down. Anyone else? God cares about you. He wants you to have that fullness of life. Anyone else? Hallelujah. We're going to pray this prayer together. But if you raised your hand, or you know you should have raised your hand, pray this prayer from your heart. God sees it from the heart anyway. And he hears and he saves. So let's pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, thank you for loving me. I've made some mistakes. I've sinned. I'm sorry. But I believe that you died and you rose again to take away my sin. So come into my heart right now as you've removed the sin and help me live for you. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for the life that you have for me. Help me to love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, thank you for anyone that prayed that from their heart today. The sin is gone. It's removed. New life has begun. Whether we feel it or not is not the issue. The issue is the choice has been made. And based on that choice, salvation is there. The sin is gone. And Jesus, we rejoice in that. And Father, there may be someone here that there's been something that somebody needs to be delivered of. Once again, this is between you and the Lord. But if you have something you need to be delivered of, I'm going to ask you just to slip up your hand. It could be fear. It could be anxiety. It could be a myriad of things. It could be internet pornography. I don't need to know. It's between you and God. But if that's you, slip your hand up to the Lord and say, Lord, that's me. I need to be delivered today. Yes. Yes. You can put your hands down. Anyone else? Yes. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I'm praying for these that lifted their hands. Father, you know who they are. And now, by the power and the blood of Jesus, I pray for your truth to be known. Your truth to come in all your power, to overwhelm the lies of the enemy and to remove the strongholds, to break the chains of addiction, to break the chains that have held them in bondage for years. By the blood of Jesus, they are set free. And who the Son sets free is free indeed. Oh, Father, give them the scriptures that they need, your promises that they stand on. When the enemy tries to come in, we say these scriptures, we repeat these promises, because these promises are yes and amen. They are new every morning. And Father, we stand on the truth of your word. Once again, those who the Son sets free are free indeed. Father, may they walk in victory. In victory. No more bondage. No more enslavement. No more. In Jesus' name. Yes. And finally, if there's someone here that needs to be healed today, I'm going to ask you just to stand up if you need to be healed today. If you're able to stand, stand where you're at. If you need a healing in your body. Is there anyone today? Father, pour your spirit out. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, thank you that everyone appears to be whole today. We are grateful for that. And Father, I just pray for anyone that we know of that, Father, maybe there is someone in our family that needs a healing. Father, may we be bold to pray for healing, believing that your healing is there. Father, thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your goodness. Father, now bless this congregation. Encourage them as they go sharing your love, sharing your truth. I thank you that you are going before each one, your spirit lining up the divine appointments that are there for them, and that your light shines through them. Your light shining in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. So they go in strength, they go in victory with your power, with your love, and in your authority. Thank you for each one. Bless and encourage them. Build them in your faith. Father, your power flowing through them as never before in this hour. Bless Pastor, bless the leadership of this church. As they continue to go forward as you lead and guide them. Father, reaching this Siouxland region to the glory of your name, and even extending around the world as even as they go vicariously through those of us that they have partnered with. Thank you for these partners. Bless and encourage them. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for this time. We love you guys. We love being with you today. Pastor Dan, thank you so much. We look forward. Stop by our table. Let me also say this. If the Holy Spirit is tugging on your heart, if he's talking to you about coming and being a part of what we're doing in Botswana, talk to us. Talk to us. We can help you with a call. It doesn't have to come to Botswana. If he's talking to you to go somewhere else, it's okay, but we would love to visit with you about that. Pastor Dan, thank you so much. God bless you.
Thank you.